Welcome to CBuzz, the Columbus Chamber of Commerce's award-winning podcast and also Columbus's first business-focused podcast. Our show is presented by the Columbus Chamber of Commerce and Capital University. My name is Michaela Hunt, brand journalist and your host for CBuzz, where we bring you unique and impactful stories directly from the leaders right here in our own Central Ohio business community. We're recording this session at our home inside Capital University's Convergent Media Center, which is a really collaborative space for students and faculty to study music, film, creative writing, and digital media. We're excited to bring you inspiring and educational stories through this platform. Today, we're sitting down with Monica Dominic, Chief Client Officer, and Monty Raglin, President and COO of PSI, Pro Team Solutions Incorporated. PSI is an IT consulting firm that offers services in areas like executive oversight, program and project management, mobility, business intelligence and analytics, staff augmentation, and more. Monica and Monty, pleasure to have you in studio with us
today.
Good
to be here.
Thank you, Michaela.
I'm so excited because you're like ready for this. We've got our camera, we're prep ready to go, and I have the fortune of knowing both of you before we sit down, so it's fabulous to have you here today. So I want to say, first of all, congratulations on purchasing PSI from founder Keith Stevens, who we've had in the studio. Keith is legendary, but so is his team members. And so I want to ask you first, how did this transition work and what led you all to this decision? And Monty, I'll start with you.
Great question. It could go long on the answer. One of the problems that I think many small businesses face, and while we're not a mom and pop organization, we still fall into the SBA small business kind of category. And one of the problems many of us face is succession planning. We're so involved in the day to day that we don't really get out too far into what the next chapter looks like. Right. And so one of the things that we done in our senior leadership meeting about 3 years ago was start to talk that through. The CEO, Keith Stevens, his brother Doug, and I were the primary members of that leadership team at that time. And so as we were having the conversation about what it looked like, the question was asked, well, what about you? They were looking at me.
Like, raise your hand. Yeah. Is this you?
What about you? What about it? What about you? You know, and the thought was really that I would always lead the organization, but not necessarily that I would be an owner, right? It's a little different, right? So I thought they were kidding at first. So I didn't necessarily take the question seriously. And it took a while for it to sink in. And so it took some time to really digest it, because that's how my brain processes things. Took some time to process it and said, okay, you guys are serious. I can do this by myself, but I don't want to. There's some things, like for all of us, there's aspects of my personality, my knowledge and experience where there are gaps, right? So I started to talk to people. Started to talk to people about, just to almost like interviewing them without interviewing them.
Yes.
People that I knew in the business for a while who had different skill sets. And after a couple of conversations in a meeting with Keith and Doug, they asked me what my thoughts were about next steps. And I was like, well, I think I want a partner that brings some things to the table that I don't possess or that I'm just not good at, right? And I said, but that person already is already here. And so I tapped Monica on the shoulder and had a conversation with her and asked her if she was up for the ride. And so that's really kind of the story. And so that was about a 2.5 year process from her saying, I'm in, after talking with her husband, that we got on a roller coaster.
So Monica, how do you say you're in? Because so many people are in you or Monty's positions where you are a senior leader in your organization, but to Monty's point, never think on actually taking on ownership. What can you say today about how you decided to be in and how you would encourage others maybe to think about it if they ever have that opportunity?
Yeah. Well, my story is actually kind of interesting around that, though, is that I never have fear of asking for what I want, right? So I've been with PSI for 10 years, and I knew Keith Stevens for about 3 years prior to me joining PSI. Monty's been with the company about 8, so I was there 2 years before Monty. 6 months into me working at PSI, I was having a mid-year review with Keith, and he said, "So how do you think it's going?" And I said, "I think you should give me some equity ownership." And he said, "No." And then every 6 months from that point, I was like, it's time for me to have some ownership. And he kept saying like, well, maybe. And I kept getting better with my job and building the company and helping the team just elevate because we are a team at PSI. So I had been screaming ownership for a while. So then when Monty tapped me on the shoulder and said, "What do you think about joining?" And I was like, "Wait, what? You got ownership? Like, what are you talking about? I've been asking for it for 10 years. So I went home and talked to my husband, because this is not, as Monty and I found out, it's not like owning my own multi-level marketing company, right? We are buying a pretty well-established 30-year company that costs a lot of money. And this is a financial obligation. So it was about having to be creative with some financing and creative personally. So it was a very easy conversation to have with my husband, because I had been asking for ownership for so long. So then when I came back and talked to Monty, and I think my first response was, "Yes, I'm happy to do it. How much do I get?" Like, what percentage of ownership, right? Because I have been asking for ownership for so long.
Well, that's the beauty of succession planning when you work for an amazing leader who needs to have a plan, right? And I've seen that happen in terms of creative financing and what can happen to continue the long stretch the company has of doing an incredible job when there's not an immediate, you know, go-to or a family member a lot of times who might also be in the business. It's a great story. But what exactly is PSI? And Monty, how is your company helping the Columbus technology industry? Because I think we got to nail that down too at the beginning of this.
Okay. All right. Let's try to answer the first question. What is PSI? PSI is ProTeam Solutions. All right. ProTeam Solutions is an IT services and consulting firm. Right. And so our primary line of business is providing information technology subject matter experts to organizations that are primarily headquartered here in Central Ohio. We do some things outside of just providing one individual with subject matter expertise. Sometimes we put groups of individuals together to do what we call maybe statement of work, some consultative advice, and usually, you know, we take a little more risk. But generally, our business is what we call IT staff augmentation, which is where we provide an expert that may have some expertise that a company that we're supporting doesn't have internally, right? They come in, provide that subject matter expertise for some time, provide some knowledge transfer to the internal team, and then they're off to the next project, right? So that's primarily what PSI does. We do some things outside of information technology, but that's a much lower percentage of our business and revenue streams, right? So we have some things that are what we will call IT adjacent, right? So things like digital marketing, right? Things that where data, or could be data associated with some sort of accounting function, right? So it's something that's related to IT, but it's not truly information technology related.
Monica, from your seat, technology, I mean, it's just grown exponentially over the years. In our lifetime, it has. It's amazing to think of the jump that we've seen, the changes. What does some of that look like to you from what where you're sitting now and in this seat and where you've been with PSI and in your career over the years?
You know, it's an ever-changing model. And when I first started with the company, this is a joke that I say, but it's true. The only thing I knew about IT was how to spell it because it's its own language and you really had to immerse yourself. I had to immerse myself in IT and technology and what the language is, what the words are, what the acronyms are. And then you had to not only understand that, but now you had to implement it. You really had to understand from the big picture when somebody's talking about a mobile app, a custom mobile app, what does that mean? What does that mean to somebody in the back end? What does that mean to you as the user? And then I always chuckle now when people, especially my mom or something, when she'll say, oh, I don't really know technology. But in reality, there's a high aptitude of understanding of technology now because we're all forced to. We've got these phones, we've got wearable devices like our watches. There's two-step authentication in nearly everything that's out there. So when you hear common people saying, oh, I don't understand technology, well, you do far more than you ever did even 20 years ago, but it's only going to continue to grow. And there's, you know, from what people understand, even just on scratching of the surface, there's a mile deeper than that. And we have the pleasure of working with some people who even have real high-level top secret security clearance, and they're doing ethical hacking, and they're getting into, you know, the depths of companies, and they still don't know everything.
But that's amazing. That speaks to the level of trust, Monty, that you guys have with your clients.
For sure. For sure. I think, you know, if we do our job right, we're an extension of both the HR talent acquisition team of our client and an extension of the IT team. Because most often, the HR team isn't really knowledgeable or experienced with some of the skill sets that the IT team needs. So they struggle a little bit with what to interview for, you know, what they're looking for, exactly understanding how the technologies work together. And then our IT, the IT team generally struggles with just the people side of things, right? And so if we do our job right, we're really help. You asked the question earlier, how do we help organizations here in Columbus from an IT perspective? Well, we help them because we're an extension of the organization. We're a partner. We're not just providing bodies per se, but we're an extension of the talent acquisition team and the IT team.
Where do you, this is a big question, but where do you think technology will take the world next?
Whoa.
Big one. Yes, that's a big one.
Where will it
take the business world specifically?
The business world. I'll give you a few minutes to think on that one, Monica. So where technology is taking the business world, people sometimes think, you know, like all of the automation, the evolution of IT is taking jobs away. It's when it's really not necessarily taking jobs away, it's just making human beings in certain aspects of business more efficient, right? Things that are very repetitive, that are done over and over and over again. Well, you can automate those things. You know, therein lies automation, artificial intelligence, robots. That's what they're built for. They're not built to take jobs away. And then you leave some of the higher functioning things that some of the artificial intelligence and robots, they don't feel. There's an emotional aspect to still doing business. And so what it forces human beings to do is interact. And that'll be, you know, like for our recruiting team, we're trying to automate certain aspects of their job. We're not trying to eliminate their jobs. We want to make them more efficient. So when they come into the office, they don't have to spend 4 hours looking for the right type of candidate. We can use some automation to help them find the right type of candidate. Then it's their job to engage.
Monica, from the client perspective that you work so closely with, where do you think they need technology to take them next? What is it that you hear as you're having some of the conversations that you do?
It's a lot of understanding the trends that are happening. Everybody wants it fast. Everybody wants it now. It's got to be immediate. It's oftentimes handheld now, where the clients, customers are wanting the deliverable to be. So it's really understanding that. And it's that delivery mode. And I think a big thing overall, to kind of go back to the question you just asked, Monty, is where is technology going to bring our world in the next 5 years? We don't know. And the clients don't know. So now more than ever, it's fast. It's just happening fast. It's switching fast. We've had the benefit of working with multi-million dollar companies or billion dollar companies who are in the middle of multi-million dollar implementations that have been going on for 2 years. And then a decision is made to stop it. They stop, they pivot, and they go in another direction that just costs them another $20 million because that's how fast the category changed. That's how fast the technology changed. So, and what we're seeing when that happens too is you'll see somebody who's got, you know, a certain development technology skill. And then all of a sudden, the very next day when they make the change, they don't need that skill anymore. They need this skill. So it's just, it's being able to turn on a dime because technology every day gets better. Somebody will always do it better than you did today. Your competition's going to do it better tomorrow. And then you're going to catch up the next day and so on.
So all these folks that you're talking about working with, I find it incredibly intriguing because your team works in areas like manufacturing, healthcare, insurance, retail, and government, I know as well. How are you able to work with clients from various industries? Some may say it could be challenging. How are you able to do that?
That's the fun part.
Yeah.
Right. That's the fun part for, I think, for me, and I think for anyone that's in our industry, not just on our team, is that every day is a little bit different. While there's many foundational things that are the same, but every day is a little bit different because we're engaging, like you said, across a number of different industries and institutions. So you have to kind of flip the switch from conversation to conversation. One minute you're talking with a government, you know, representative, and there's a certain way that they are able to engage, right? Because of different laws and policies.
Right, yeah.
And then you've got your private sector, right? They're able to engage in a little different manner with a few less handcuffs, let's say. And they can move at a little quicker speed to make changes and decisions, right? And so the fun thing, I think, for us is when you get, for those of us that are curious, you really can't be in our business and not be curious because there's so many different things coming at you. You get an opportunity to, you know, what I call look behind the curtain, you know, like the Wizard of Oz, you pull back the curtain, just a guy back there pulling levers, right? And so when we're talking to our clients, we get a chance to like see behind what's really behind the curtain. What's behind the curtain? What's going on? How's the sausage being made? And then we get to understand it, and then we get to work with them to help deliver the type of services, people, resources, solutions, even if we're not the ones that bring the solution to the table.
Well, and one thing that I want to say on that is what Monty's saying is 100% correct. However, we also have to realize that technology it's kind of like building the basement in a house. So the foundation is there and the foundation is different. So if you're an architect, you can build the same basement in the platform and then you design around it. So everybody's house is going to look different. That's the same way with technology. So a lot of what we do, if we have one client who needs .NET and the other client needs .NET, that's the same resource, even if they're in far different industries.
What's one aspect, we seem to always kind of circle back in these conversations to the pandemic because it was so challenging for everyone, sometimes in different ways, sometimes in the same ways. So I want to ask you about lessons learned and your biggest lesson learned from the pandemic that really has allowed you there's some things that have allowed you to thrive a little bit differently and there's some things that have allowed you to move forward differently. So I'm curious to hear from both of you, whoever wants to take it first, what that lesson looks like and how you've come out of that.
I can say that managing a team has to be, for anyone, the toughest, you know, that transition. Luckily for us, we had already been experimenting with a remote policy that was fairly loosely defined and loosely managed. Nobody had to say, hey, I want to be off next Tuesday. They just, that morning said, hey, I'm working from home. Okay. As long as you're production, you know, that's what I put on the table.
Well, we had
I
to fight
like
for
it.
That. We had to fight for that. Yeah, he did not like that.
I didn't like it. But we were experimenting prior to COVID with it because that's what our team said they needed. They needed more flexibility, especially those with young children, right? So so we started to experiment to say, hey, if production and results, you know, start to fall off, then we got to put some parameters, we got to put some guardrails around this thing. And then COVID hits, right? So so it was a very easy transition for us. The one thing that's tough and still is that, and I think most companies are still grappling with, how do we maintain, if they had a culture, how do they maintain it, especially with new additions to the team? You know, it's one thing to work, you know, have people like Monica has been with the organization for 10 years, you know, work from home. It's another thing to have a newbie, you know, someone who's not from the industry, needs to learn everything. You know, how do they understand, how do they feel the culture? How do they learn the culture, you know, and when they're coming in the door? And so that's something we're still working towards. And thankfully, I think the for us, we hire to kind of a standard and kind of based on values, right? Values. And we have corporate values, but we're looking for people who have similar personal values as our corporate values. That way they don't have to live what I call a double life, because I feel like most people live a double life. You know, they live at work a certain kind of way, because their company, what they do with their company, has nothing to do with how they think and how they feel and what they believe is right and wrong. Well, if your company has values, foundational values that are very similar to your personal values, then you're just coming in and being who you are every day.
Truth.
Right?
Yeah.
And it makes it very easy. So if we've hired people like that, I believe. And so that's helped us kind of maintain, when we bring somebody new in, their, you know, their willingness to come into the office when they need to kind of start to help share and teach what those values are. So it's not just on one or two of us to do that.
That's a deep thoughts on what that lesson is and what it looks like with staffing and culture. How about you? What's your lesson from the pandemic, do you think?
Oh, that's such a tough question, but I think it all comes around to, as Monty was saying, culture is very important to PSI. And I know culture is it's a catchphrase. It's the sexy new phrase that every business is using. So I almost hate saying it, because we really do really try to maintain a really awesome culture. And it's part of that, though, is getting to know your people. Part of that is the chatter that happens when you're together, and that has eliminated. So now it's trying to create the over-communication. It's bringing people into the fold. It's meeting them where they are and with what the pandemic did to them. Because my point of view and their point of view could be different. One person could want to meet face-to-face, the other might not want to. And it was about having that over-communication, meeting people where they were with their comfort level, and understanding that everybody was a little different.
In the midst of all this, you have PSI Gives, speaking of values and mission. This is your company's commitment to community responsibility. How important is this to what we're talking about right now?
It was incredibly important, not only for the community, and when we're talking about what PSI's culture is, a lot of that is giving back to the community that has helped PSI be around for 30 years. And that is because we were cherished and tucked under the arm of Columbus. So we wanted to give back. But not only did we want to give back as senior leaders, actually what even started PSI Gives was a survey that we sent out to the employees years ago. And we were hearing from them that they wanted to do in-kind donations and time donations, things like that. So we pick different organizations every year. We usually pick, you know, 2 to 3, and we will shut down the office every quarter for about a half a day or so. We'll go to these different venues. We have helped with COSI, with food banks, with homeless shelters, anything that we can do to give back. When the pandemic happened, we still wanted to give back, and it was still important to our employees. And I can say, which was pretty neat for us, is at the height of the pandemic, when nobody was around anybody, nobody was in the offices or doing anything, our employees still asked to be part of the give back. So we would find organizations that would allow us to come in. We would mask up. We would double glove up. We wouldn't eat or drink water or anything because we could be together 10 feet apart together, still giving back to the community.
So in your new roles, you have these new ownership roles. How are you balancing this active professional, personal, and community commitment space that you both have as well? I know Monica a little bit better than I know Monty, but I know enough to know that you're the same. So how are you guys doing this?
You know, it's the newness hasn't worn off yet, and there's a lot of transition, right? So we feel like we went to school over the last, because it took
grad
several
school.
Years. went back to grad school, right? And learned how to buy a company with very little investment capital, personal investment capital. And so even once we signed the dotted line, the transition of different processes and specifics and details isn't done, right? There's still work to be done. And so one of the things that was always concerning for me was like, through the process, like, are we given enough, do we have the right balance of paying attention to the day-to-day and making sure that we're delivering at a high level to our client? Because if we're not, then what we're buying ain't gonna be worth very much, right? And even now, you know, we've got to make sure as we transition that we're inclusive to our staff and listening to their voices about what concerns they may have and how they want to be involved in what we expect to be growth. Right. Because as we give back, as you talked about, as we give back and become more well known, because for a while we used to sneak up on people.
I kind of like that. Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. We were the ninjas.
We used to sneak up on people, but now we can't sneak up on anybody. They see us coming.
Yeah.
Right. So so we expect growth, and we want the folks that have given so much and work really hard, understand the values, to be a part of that growth. I think I answered your question. I got off topic.
Well, I have to jump in, though, and say that what we've always chuckled about now is that since the sale has been final, people ask me all the time, and I'm sure they do you, too, of, well, what's your new job? What's your new job? Nothing. I have the same job. There's no new job. Now I have another one. So it's still doing what I've been doing. It's still, you know, running the team. And I've always had this vision for growth. And now it's okay. Well, what we felt like years ago, Keith kind of handed the keys over to us symbolically and said, go ahead and run it. And we've been running it. And we thought, oh, we got this. We got this. How different is it going to be? Oh, my God. Now it's like I have to do these, the benefits and HR functions and 401k matches and all this stuff that we didn't think of. So it's doing everything we've been doing plus.
Yeah. And that plus is more strategy and vision, right? Now the, you know, for so many years, that's what Keith has always been a very good mentor and coach for us. And what he's really, really good at is vision and strategy. And so he needed, so he was able to build a team of folks who could really execute. And so now that vision and strategy fall with Monica and I. Right. So we're still getting better at vision and strategy. And we have to balance that with what's the operation look like? What's that day-to-day look like? Because I think if you get too, personally, I think if you get too far away from some of the day-to-day stuff, not granular, but if you get too far away from it, your vision and strategy start to lose a little bit of its worth, mm-hmm. because you just don't have the same feel, the same touch, mm-hmm. that you had while you were involved a little bit more.
So I love that the tenor of this conversation has been a little bit about being the unexpected entrepreneur or mm-hmm. the one who wanted a piece of equity. So from that lens, before we go, I want to understand at this moment from the journey you've been on, what is something that's influencing you lately on this journey that has been, I finally have a piece of equity, or I didn't know I was going to be an owner. What is, like, what are you really, whether it's a book, it's a TED talk, I don't know what it could be. Like, what is it that really right now you're into that's taking you on this next part of your journey?
I'd like to go first on that one. Two things. You and I met, Michaela, a few weeks back at a CIO conference. And in that conference, I think his name was Ken Crawford. And Ken, he's the leader or one of the leaders of the Columbus Partnership. And one of the things he said in that conversation challenged all of us in the room was to think bigger. And he talked about the partnership's journey with Intel.
Kenny McDonald.
Kenny mm-hmm. McDonald.
Yeah.
And I got it wrong. I was close.
You were. But he talked. That was such great moment.
He just challenged us all. Like, hey, we wouldn't have won this huge, impactful business, you know, coming to Columbus unless we had thought bigger. And Intel, quite frankly, had to tell him. And he's,
You're not thinking big enough.
You're not thinking big enough.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things that's really been weighing on me. I told Monica, you know, I just came off vacation and I was like, I've got to really start to put some parameters around, like, what does that mean to us? Because I think he's right. I was like, I think we have to think bigger than we were thinking. Right, we have a, you know, something written down, a document, a vision document, and all these kinds of things for the next 3 to 5 years. And I was like, I think we got to think bigger. It goes back to even COVID, you know, your conversation about COVID. You know, COVID kind of forced you to think outside of your geographic area, because all of the major organizations that said they couldn't be productive, productive with people working remote, found out that they could. And so now you've got your best employers, large and small, recognizing that they don't have to have people on site all the time to get the same things done. And so that being said, people can be anywhere, right? So we were, you know, kind of Central Ohio, Columbus based, and we still are. We have a number of resources, consultants that work in California, but they work for our client here. And so that being said, we've got to think a little bit bigger. So that's one of the things that's weighing on us from a vision perspective. The other is, you know, my dad passed recently, and that journey has forced me, you know, to look different at time. Right? To look different at time. And so, you know, you think you have a lot of it. All of us do. We just kind of get into a rhythm and you think you have time and you don't. Right? And so you want to be about your business, understand what's important to you and not waste it. Right? Because you can't get it back.
I don't think I've ever come that close to tearing up inside a C-Buzz episode, because it's true. It is absolutely true.
Yeah. Well, I almost didn't bring it up because I would have been the one that had been in here crying. I'm a crybaby. Monica knows that.
Well, I'm sorry for his passing, but obviously some incredible lessons, you know, in your life from him. Monica, how about you? What is feeding you? What is driving you right now?
You know, I co-sign in everything, of course, that Monty said. That's one reason why we loved doing this together, is because we're kind of the yin and the yang, and we kind of march in the same direction. But I'd be lying if I didn't say how passionate I am about women in leadership and women in business, and especially women in technology. I'm very active, and I'm a keynote speaker and a public speaker in the circuit, but especially in women in technology, the Get Wit It conference. I do a lot of keynote speaking there. So I've always got these ambitions to help mentor, to help bring the women in the next generation and those who are even older than me or in my generation who just don't have the confidence, or they think that they're not good enough, or they think that their idea isn't good enough, or their voice isn't loud enough. So all of the topics that I go out and speak on are finding your voice, being heard, rising up to the challenge. So I think this has only empowered me even more to know what my dream was. And when I sat in front of Keith 10 years ago and said, I want ownership. Well, guess what? Now I'm ownership of it, right? Now I am a co-owner and it can happen. And at 45 years old, I'm really proud of that, right? And it couldn't have happened if this gentleman on my left didn't invite me to the table. But that also was because I was proving myself of value at that table. So I like to show women that it is powerful and you are powerful and your voice is strong enough. And that can happen when you're young. It can happen when you're 45 and younger, you know? So it's those kind of things that now I'm always on the mission to empower and help and mentor. Now I'm going to write a book on it, and I want to go keynote speak all over the globe in very large capacities to show women that you can have a career in technology, even not in technology, but you can own a business and you can do it right.
Since you can't see us, I have to tell those of you listening, there was just a fist bump between Moni and Monica, and I got to chill because I think you guys have left us on a really inspirational note with both of your answers to that question. So, Monica, Moni, thank you so much for taking the time to share your story with us.
We appreciate it. We want to make sure that I think, you know, one of the things that Monica just talked about is we have an opportunity, right, to testify. You know,
as we've got
to testify, right, by our actions, not necessarily verbally, but by our actions, to show some of our staff and our consultants, others that we're engaged with in our nonprofit work, you know, some of our give backs, that, you know, what people like to see themselves, or representatives that look like them, you know, diverse people, that there are opportunities there, and you don't. Like I was sharing with the broadcast team out there, there's not a direct line to where you're going. So don't think that there is. Just follow just take the next step. Mm-hmm. Just take the next step and for what it's worth, and soak it up and keep on moving, man, and stay positive.
And I'll say one thing on that too, is that Lizzo just said, and I can't quote her directly because I'm trying to stay, you know, G-rated, but Lizzo had just said that she wanted to see a woman who was, you know, when she was growing up, she wanted to see a woman that was in the position that she's in, and until she realized she had to be that woman to, like, to charge the course, to make the road. Mm-hmm. And for me and Monty, it's to own that company, to make a difference in the community, and to do it the right way. Do it with integrity, with passion, with love, and humbleness.
And as she would say, it's about darn time.
That's right.
Moni, Monica, thank you. For our listeners, if you want to learn more about all of Monica and Moni's endeavors, please visit www.psi92.com. And if you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to let us know by sharing your ratings, reviews on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you may be listening. Your reviews help people find our show and hear our community's unique stories. We read your feedback. We value your ideas as we plan for future episodes. CBuzz is proudly produced in collaboration with Capital University, and we want to say a special thank you to the talented students that we were talking about behind the screen today, faculty and staff, for helping bring this program to life for you, our listeners. I'm Michaela Hunt, your host for CBuzz, the Columbus Chamber of Commerce's business-focused podcast, and hope to meet you back here again soon.